Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
It's something that no parent wants to think about, much less face, but if you have a child that has to go into the hospital for any length of time, or even for a short period for a surgery or a procedure, it can be the single most stressful, worrisome time in an entire parent's life. And we're going to talk about how to cope with that. My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Mack. She's a pediatric intensivist and director of quality at Palmetto Health Children's Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mack. So people don't want to think about this, but we have to. What is your best advice first to begin in preparing ourselves and our children to enter a hospital stay?
Sure, Melanie. Thanks so much for having me. There are more than 3 million children hospitalized each year, and as you said, it can be an extremely stressful experience for both the child and the family. And of course, our first goal is to do no harm. You bring your child into the hospital to get better and not to get worse, and unfortunately, there are, we don't want to think about it, but there are medical errors and infections and things like that out there, and so you absolutely want to avoid any of that at all costs. And so I just have some sort of big major tips for parents as far as how they can best be an advocate and get through the hospitalization so that their kid is better when they come out the other end. So first, I would say hand hygiene is of utmost importance. So every single person that comes in your room, no matter if they touch your child or not, should be doing hand hygiene, whether it's with soap and water, with the alcohol foams or other alcohol gels or other foams. Every single person, and actually including yourself and your family members, on their way in and on their way out should do appropriate hand hygiene. And if you have questions about that, you can always ask the nurse what's expected. And also that the staff work clean to dirty. In other words, they don't change your child's diaper and then touch the IV, or if they do, then they do hand hygiene again in between those tasks. But we try to encourage folks to work sort of from the clean to the dirty, instead of from the old perspective where we used to encourage folks to work head to toe on a child. Now we say, you know, make sure you do the clean task first and then you do the dirty task. Or sometimes kids, you know, don't follow the rules and they create a dirty mess for us. We're in the middle of something and we do, you know, certainly you can attend to that and then do some more hand hygiene. But that is really important. The next thing I would say is to educate yourself about any devices that your child may have inserted and the care and maintenance that is required for those devices. So, for example, if your child has an IV or a big fancy IV such as a central venous line or catheter, a Foley catheter, a urinary catheter, anything like that, those things all require particular attention to cleanliness and detail, and hospitals have policies regarding what is expected. In other words, how often they're cleaned, you know, when would you like to get those things out of the body, that sort of thing. And educate yourself with the nurses and the physicians on what is expected of those devices so that you can try to avoid any complications or infections related to that.
So we understand that infections, washing our hands, watching out for these various catheters and central lines that our children might have and being the best advocate for them. What do we say to our children, Dr. Mack? How do we kind of prepare them for this experience?
Absolutely. So there are actually, depending on what your child is having done, whether it's just a sort of what we think of as simple outpatient procedure or it's going to be a lengthy hospitalization, many of these things are planned in advance. Of course, some are not. But there are a good number of websites out there that will explain how you would explain as a parent to prepare your child for whatever is going to be done. In addition, a lot of hospitals will provide a tour if, you know, if it's something, say your child is having their tonsils out or their, you know, tubes in their ears or, you know, hospitalization for chemotherapy or something like that. The hospital, often the child life therapist, they are an invaluable resource, and those folks will often give a tour and sort of help the kids understand and normalize the environment and encourage you to bring particular things or not bring particular things and really prepare the kids for that. In addition, if it's a children's hospital, most of them will have child life therapists there, and they certainly, you should ask for them. I think we're all big kids at heart, and I certainly would love to have a child life therapist working with me if I were in the hospital, even at this age.
So we can ask for that child life therapist. That's a great, great tip. Now, how honest do we be with our children about...
You have to be honest with them. You have to, you can't lie to them, otherwise they won't trust you with whatever comes next after that. So if it's going to hurt, they need to know that it's going to hurt. But there are things that can be done to, decrease the hurt potentially. And maybe folks won't think of those things, but often child life or the nurse or the doctor will. So, you know, if it's going to be a big needle or if it's going to be some sort of procedure, you know, is there a pain therapy or technique that could decrease the pain and anxiety associated with it? Distraction certainly helps. And also, if the parent can be there and be with their kid at the time of the procedure or whatever is being done, that often will help. Sometimes it makes things worse. Sometimes it helps, but the parent often knows their child best. So really working with the nurse and child life about how you can sort of tailor the experience to the kid to make it the least traumatic possible thing. I would also say that, you know, in this day and age, parents are really often into social media. If it's going to be a long-term issue, really engage those sites that are out there to help, such as Care Pages, Caring Bridge, Facebook, that kind of thing. Get on there, and it will help avoid people texting and calling you at every hour of every day. It will sort of, you can push the message that you want everybody to have, and then they can send you a get well message or your child a get well message, and it also sort of serves as a little journal for what happened during the hospitalization. But those things are key to parent sanity often, I find, and even the kids as well. I think it's good for them to know that people are thinking of them out there, you know, trying to help them get through it.
That's great. And now the parents, you mentioned our own sanity.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to be strong because we don't want our child to see us breaking down. We don't want our child to see how scared we truly are for them. And of course, every parent would be. How do we kind of keep that brave face? Do we take breaks? Do we stay by that child's side every second? What do we do?
That is a good question, and so many parents struggle with that. So, it just sort of depends on whether it's a short-term or a long-term thing. If it's a short-term thing, often you can sort of power through and alternate with providers. I do think it's important for somebody to be at the bedside almost all the time. If you get pushback with visitation hours and whatever, I as a patient and parent advocate, would push back a little bit against that and say, you know, this is my child. I want to be here for them. They do better if that's the case in my presence. But I do think it's important to take some breaks, to get out, to, experience the fresh air and eat real food like that every now and then. But a lot of people will, you know, say mom and dad or mom or dad will go out to eat, but then have a family friend or one of the kids' friends come and sort of stay with them during that break. I think it's important to have a presence, to participate on rounds, to make notes, to jot down lab tests, to request images. Leave your number, absolutely, if you leave for any reason, and, just try to avoid duplication in therapy. You will be the most knowledgeable person about your child's care, more so than any other providers at the hospital. And so in order to, you got to go to follow-up appointments, and you'll have to deal with whatever this illness was, no matter how minor or major. So I think it's important to have a presence and to really keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on in order to help keep us straight as the healthcare providers.
Well, that is the best advice. And for parents out there, if you do have to go through this, as worrisome as it is, we do have to keep that brave face for our children. Be honest with them. Check for infections. Wash your hands. Make sure everyone visiting does the same. Be the best advocate for your child that you can be. And that includes being strong and as upbeat as you can possibly be. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.